Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time is 7:15. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Colin says, morning, is there something wrong with the streaming? It keeps going on and off. So what we're going to do, Colin, is we're going to reset the streaming. We can do that on our side, and I hope that will fix the problem. In the meantime, why don't you just tune in to 101.9 Chai FM. All right, Colin says, my wine is, where is Howie? And you might notice, in fact, you might have noticed that we've moved a little bit away from some of our regular guests this week. And we are moving things, we are changing things around. We're, of course, not going to be saying goodbye to our regular guests, but we are looking at introducing a lot of different content. So you will have noticed that we've got a lot more interviews and a lot more diverse content. We are going to be, of course, checking in with our regulars as often as we possibly can. At 7:16, I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Joining us on the line, family law adaptive attorney and CEO, founder of Impassion, Jennifer Stoller. A very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning.
Let's just see if this line is working. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep, now we can. All right, so there apparently are proposed new marriage laws on the cards for South Africa. So maybe just give us a sense of where we were in terms of the accrual marriage system, what we're looking at, what's going to be changing, and how this could possibly impact on us.
Perfect. So essentially, it's obviously like more complicated than that. And that's what's actually so funny about law. That's why I call myself an adaptive attorney, because if we had to explain it in 2 minutes, it would basically be impossible. But if I had to kind of get to a point where I had to just explain very simply, in South Africa, we don't have a single marriage statute, right? So actually religious marriages like Jewish marriages, Muslim marriages, Hindu marriages, cultural marriages actually aren't recognized in terms of our law unless you register them. So the, like, Home Affairs have basically sat down and they said, well, we need to comply and give everyone equality when it comes to this. And it kind of is introducing equity in all relationships. So when it comes to life partnerships, it takes, if enacted, it will literally be able to, people will be able to conclude marriages regardless of their sexual orientation, religious and cultural like persuasions. So I like to give a very layman terms example. So let's say you want to get married overseas and you have a rabbi in Israel that marries you, and you come back to South Africa and you don't register your marriage at Home Affairs. Mm. Your religious marriage, actually, without this bill coming into place, would not be considered to be valid, which is a massive problem.
So today, if a Jewish person wants to get married, and I'm sure it's the same within the Muslim world or Hindu world, you'll have almost two parts to the ceremony, where you'll have the civil marriage as well as the Jewish traditional marriage. And the Jewish traditional marriage actually has no relevance, does it? I mean, I think it does have some, because it does impact on if a couple, for example, is getting divorced. I know in South Africa, the courts are quite sympathetic to a man not giving his wife a get, etc. So it is sympathetic, but it isn't linked. Is that correct?
Yeah, so essentially what a lot of people find having problems, so obviously this only becomes a problem in divorce, right? But then it's kind of too late. So we do have a system called, an avenue called the universal partnership, where people can pursue that. But a lot of people, like our world has changed. A lot of people live together and start a family without getting married. A lot of people have religious ceremonies and not register their marriage at Home Affairs. And what South Africa is trying to kind of do is say, well, let's have equity and equality with everything and make sure that people are protected. Do I anticipate there being practical problems? Of course. like, why do you think they're lawyers? We have jobs because of the actual problems that arise.
And this is where you want to say thank you to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is basically saying to people, like, you now will be protected, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your marriage. But they're also trying to get to a point where the religious aspects are still intact. Because, like, for me, I personally don't think you can have a single marriage regulation over every relationship, over every partnership, because it kind of also takes away the sanctity of marriage. But that's my obvious, that's obviously my personal view.
Right, right. But to some extent, where they correlate, or where a religious marriage is on the same page as a, what we've called a civil or traditional marriage, that, that kind of makes sense. What about a situation where the two of them contradict each other? So, for example, in a situation where a person religiously might be allowed to have a number of wives, but from a civil perspective, they can't.
Exactly. So essentially we do have, like, polygamous marriages are also going to be regulated in this space. So we obviously have the recognition of customary marriages. So we know that in African cultures, there are polygamous marriages where the first wife would obviously need to give consent for the second wife and so on. But now it's actually casting a bigger net. It's saying if the man actually even wants to be in a relationship with another woman, they need consent from the wife. Because in South Africa, we don't have a concept called common law marriage, which a lot of people think we do. So a lot of people think if you live together for a certain amount of time, you're considered to be married. That's not the position. So what the statute is trying to do, in essence, is kind of enable South Africans of different sexual orientations, religious, cultural persuasions to conclude legal marriages, so taking that net as well, allowing registration of relationships as well. So sometimes people don't want to get married. They don't believe in marriage, but they want to live together. They want to start a family together. It brings, roles of marriages officers into place, regulations for polygamous marriages. There's actually so much that is involved.
So it sounds incredibly progressive. It really does sound like it is a very positive way forward. Sorry, before you answer that question, Roland is saying there's a madman walking and streaking down the middle of the highway, the November 1 north at Bayers Nordea. I don't know why you can make that judgment, Roland, to say that he's a madman, just because he is streaking down the middle of the highway. It could just be, yeah, I mean, this really judging, you know, I find our listeners very, very judgmental.
I'm just laughing,
on
feel
a
like
Wednesday.
The world has gone like mad. Like, we're literally talking about progressive law here and someone is streaking on the highway like a madman. Like,
down the November 1 north, Bayers Nordea off ramp. Right. Absolutely. But the truth is, I think there's a bit of him in all of us. We all are going mad. I think he's obviously just been in lockdown, Roland, for the 300 days, and he just can take it no longer.
We're actually the mad people not streaking, if you think about it. Like, exactly. He's living his best life.
He certainly is. All right. But getting back to other people who want to live their best life. So practically, what does this mean? If a Jewish couple wants to now, assuming this gets enacted, a Jewish couple wants to get married, do they still then have to go through the civil plus the religious, or will the religious wedding or the ceremony include, it actually bind them legally in terms of South African law?
So the first thing that I wanted to address when you said it's progressive, like, I was actually reading the full bill last night. So it's very awesome to read summaries as an attorney. But then when you have to read like a 100-page bill, it is progressive. They've been chatting about this since like 2015. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like it just pops out of nowhere. They've spoken about it. They've seen problems. And, but when it comes to the actual situation of that space, it is, The biggest thing when it comes to family law is that it is also based on interpretation, right? So although you might not need to register your marriage civilly, that's when the court would kind of step in and say, okay, well, these people did get married. They did intend to have the like kind of requirements of the marriage. They wanted the consequences of a marriage. Jewish couples in my practice, I don't find have this problem, but I've dealt with probably about 10 Hindu and Muslim marriages where it wasn't registered at Home Affairs. And I had a client that was married for 20 years in terms of a Muslim marriage, but she wasn't married in the eyes of the law. So she could not claim, let's say, spousal maintenance to live. She had to prove what is called the universal partnership, which is so complex. So I think the biggest thing is that it's kind of saying, well, if you're living together with your partner and you're living as if you're husband and wife and something happens, you can be protected. Obviously, there is different mechanisms. Now there'll be registration offices. There will be other marriage offices. It's expansive. Really expansive. And I think as we go step by step, we have to explain to people, like, what it actually means. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think it's just, okay, well, I'm going to sit back, do nothing, and then if anything happens, I get protected. There's still going to be things that have to be done, but not, I think, like, it's not as exhaustive.
I thought same-sex marriages were already allowed in South Africa. How does this change that?
So essentially, same-sex marriages are regulated by the Civil Union Act, where, but it's also, it's not only so much same-sex marriages, it's same-sex partners. So let's say, for example, you have, because the thing about law is that it's interpreted word by word, right? So a man and a woman, blah, 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 blah. So if you now have two of the same-sex individuals, let's say living together for 20 years, are they a protected partnership? Are they, can they register their relationship? So that's the whole thing that essentially is going to be discussed and regulated properly. We obviously have the Civil Unions Act, we have the Marriage Act, we have the Divorce Act, we have all of these different acts that regulate different, let's say, like man and wife would be marriage, right? Recognition of customary marriages would be African. But we don't have one single statute that includes partners, relationships, and all of that. So what South Africa is trying to do is trying to essentially make it into a single marriage statute or into two separate bills of protected relationships and the recognition and registration of marriages and life partnerships. So it sounds like a whole bunch of waffle because it, for me it is. Like it's a lot of words. But essentially, it's just trying to unify everything where every person that wants to enter into that role is treated with equality.
It also does make it easier to interpret because it brings it under one umbrella so that if somebody does have a concern, they can go to an attorney or they can read it, but they don't need to look and be familiar with all the different acts that have been passed from time to time in order to keep up with the changing nature of cultural demands.
100%. And the thing is, though, is that essentially the bills that have been proposed seek to provide for the recognition of like protected relationships or of marriages and life partnerships, which are entered into by the parties, regardless of their religious, cultural and other beliefs. So essentially what it's saying is that you can get married, you can have a partnership, irrespective of whether you are in an African tribe, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Jewish, it's unifying it all. Will it be hard to interpret? I think so, maybe, because the people that were involved in drafting it are professors. And it's very theoretical. I'm a very practical person. Like, I like to go, okay, but what if this happens? What if this happens? Like, I'm like, hope for the best, plan for the worst. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's almost the difference between clinical medicine, where somebody's actually on the front line, and academic medicine, where they're sitting in the laboratories and watching how things are evolving. It's very, very different. You're on the front line. You're dealing with real people with real questions versus somebody who's trying to create a magnificent piece of legislation that that is something to be proud of, I guess.
I don't understand why there isn't already a law that, obviously there is bills and all of that, and any attorneys that are listening to this in family law, I'm going to get like lambasted because I know there are bills and all of that, but I don't know why, it's reached a position where in South Africa, when we're so diverse, if you don't register your marriage civilly, but you get married in terms of like the Muslim faith or the Hindu faith or anything of that religious aspect, you're not automatically married in the eyes of the law. Because in terms of, let's say, a customary marriage, you are. So if, let's say, people had to get married in terms of customary law, pay la bola, tick all the requirements, you're automatically married. You don't have to register your marriage. You're automatically in community of property. So my views, there is space for comments. They're allowing the bill to have comments. And I really think that I do want to get involved in the space because, let's be honest, if attorneys don't understand it, how are they supposed to guide people and educate people and empower people? Because, like, by the time you've gone to court and by the time you've reached that space, I firmly believe that it's a bit too late when you can actually educate and empower people to avoid the problem rather than fix it.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We do need to leave it there. Final question, though, is when can we anticipate this bill being confirmed and becoming an act?
So essentially, it obviously has to go through a massive process. There is people can essentially submit questions and anything in terms of what they want to by the 31st of March 2021. And then it goes through the whole process. It has to go through the legislature. It's a massive process. But I anticipate it probably coming into full play maybe in the next 2 years. But yeah, COVID was a massive factor that delayed it. Absolutely. But yeah, if people have comments, more than welcome to contact me. I'll send you the link and yeah, you
absolutely
can have your say.
Fantastic. Family law adaptive attorney and CEO and founder of Impassion, chatting to Jennifer Estola. Thank you for your time. One thing about that person running around streaking down the N1 November 1, it is near four ways. Roland, are you sure that it wasn't the hippo?
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.